Hello, my name is Adrian Daniel Jaime. I am 29 years of age, all that. Here's a question. Are there any photographs in this exhibit that you found especially meaningful? Well, I found a lot of them pretty meaningful, but I guess my favorite would have to be, the picture of Frances Claylin, who was a woman who served as a Union soldier in the Civil War, 4 months in heavy artillery, ultimately becoming a soldier in the cavalry. So I found that absolutely fascinating. And I do love photographs. I'm a student of history. I began, my interest in history when I was a little kid. I was doing a project on Alexander the Great, and I remember I made, some paper armor. Telling the students, how badass he was. Giving his life details, the breaking of Bucephalus, conquest of Asia Minor, Babylon, the Persian Empire, up until, his soldiers were like, we're tired of this shit, now let's, get the hell back, and then ultimate death at 32, ancient world rock star, and then I decided in high school and in college that I just love history, and that's what I'm going to major in, so I became a, history major at Cal Poly Pomona and graduated from there 2016, and I was a historian of the history club, eventually became vice president, was a McNair scholar, and I focused my research on the history of Bunker Hill, Los Angeles, which was a Victorian neighborhood up on a steep incline. And I wrote about, its rise during the Victorian era for my thesis, and then, the start of its decline during the interwar period for my McNair project. And now I'm going to become a grad student at Claremont Graduate University, specializing in archival studies. I really want to preserve, humanity's history, whether it's photographs, books, paper. I'm afraid of, people forgetting the past. Part of it is from, personal experience. I've noticed growing up, people really didn't take enough photographs, or if they did, they never printed them out. People just didn't have photographs. They didn't deem it was, important enough. And now there's no excuse for that. You have cell phones, so you could take just multiple, photos, click, 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 click. And that's wonderful, Now I can see, 100 photos of my niece, Aurora, and just get them instantly. And before it was just film photography, and some shit will always happen, either a cancer would break, or, the film gets exposed to sunlight. Though I have to admit, I'm getting back to film. I really want to start taking just, film photography. That would just be awesome again. So I got a old 1953 Vega Edinix. So I'm trying to fix that up so I can record, the history of my family. Just life events so they can have it in the future. Or at least someone else can see, this is how a mixed Puerto Rican Mexican family lived in the 20th and 21st century. But yeah, another part of the reason why I want to record, you know, history, and probably what ultimately, you know, led me to become a historian, and this obsession with time and preservation, is I have autism. I was born with it, like everyone with autism, as a except I was diagnosed later in life. And I've always had a problem with my memory. You know, it's like I blank out, and I'm afraid of forgetting, you know, details of the past, whether it's, you know, my grandfather's habits or my grandmother's stories, you know, the taste of food that I loved as a kid. You know, I'm afraid of forgetting. And to me, that is a horrible fear, to forget. So I've, in a way, became a pack rat. But what's great now is I can help preserve the history of America. But yeah, I have autism. I was born with it. I have another sorts of issues. You know, anxiety, depression, math dyslexia, you know, I can't, crappy equilibrium, you know, it just runs a gamut. But, yeah, it just, I'm afraid of, you know, forgetting. So, what I've decided to do is, become an archivist, you know, to preserve America's past, you know, so other researchers or students or whoever, you know, just has a weird obsession, you know, could access all these documents and photographs and, you know, wonderful articles of our history. So that's why I've gone into it. Partly obsession, part fascination. You know, just ever since I was young, you know, I noticed we didn't take as much photos. Though there is a couple photos that I love that we still have in our family. One of them is of my great-great-grandmother, Agatha Ramirez. She was a really harsh woman, not very nice, but it's a wonderful Victorian photo. Another one is a photograph of my great-grandmother when she was a quite young thing in the early 30s, and it features, you know, my grandmother Doris, you know, my two great uncles Jimmy and Ralph, and my other great-grandfather, Manuel, he died as a baby. He died at 3 from diphtheria. You know, makes you remember that, you know, one time people died from all these horrible diseases. And, you know, my great-grandmother had to watch, you know, essentially her baby, you know, drown in front of her eyes. But it's a wonderful photograph. It was taken in Puerto Rico, you know, in my right before my grandmother left for New York. You see the palm trees and, you know, my great-grandmother, you know, Angelina with her sisters. But, you know, it's not in greatest condition, so I hope to fix that. Another photo that features prominently in my grandparents' house is the photo of my great-grandfather, Antonio Tony Ramirez, who was a lieutenant in the Navy during World War II. He was a minesweeper. Supposedly, he was on two ships that sank. One time he broke his legs. The other time he, only him and the captain survived. So that's an interesting story. Next to the photo of him in his full uniform is a photo of him and his oldest son, Jimmy, also in a seaman's uniform, right around the time of World War II, so 1942, 1943. And, of course, it's positioned with a photo of my great-grandmother, Angelina Ramirez Serrano, with, her hair done up with flowers and, her Navy pins to show that, she had a husband and two sons serving the country. I have so many photos that I love. Now I'll be quick about the last two. There's a photo of my grandmother dressed in her bridesmaid's dress in 1954. And she just looks fantastic. Just, a picture of youth and happiness and beauty. And, she seems so happy, though she had such a hard life, And the other photograph is of my grandfather, Benjamin Avila's, his photograph is him in his baseball uniform when he was playing in like a amateur team in Los Angeles, made up of Puerto Rican actors. Supposedly they were financed by Desi Arnaz, though I can't find any information about them. So essentially he was a Puerto Rican baseball player. That's how my grandparents met. My grandmother, she came from New York in around 1952. My great-grandfather, he pretty much had her get married very young. She married a lame ass who sucks, he's probably in hell now. But, she had a daughter, and she decided that she just needed to get away from New York. So she left New York and made the arduous trek with her mother, her youngest brother, Richard, her daughter, Beverly, and herself. And she took it upon herself to go across the country by train and go to Los Angeles, a place of sunshine and, orange groves and beautiful people, or so she thought. And the funny thing is that my grandparents, they were in the same location and never crossed paths. The first place that she came to was Union Station, and across the street my grandpa was living in like a hotel with his father, Augusto Avila's, after they came from Puerto Rico. She lived close by, close to Olvera Street, and they never crossed paths. After she got an apartment, at the urging of her aunt, she lived in the area and worked at the Columbia Exchange building in the department store. And that's where my great-grandfather, Gusto, and my grandpa, Benny, would always shop for their clothes. And yet, they never crossed paths. But, of course, they weren't shopping for flowery perfume. So, the thing is, they actually met at a baseball game, which gets back to the baseball picture. My grandmother, she wasn't feeling that great, but her cousin was being really annoying. She was like, "I want to go to the park to see the baseball game." 14 years old, this kid wouldn't shut up. And my grandmother just like, "My God, I just want to die. I have a bunch of cramps." So her aunt just tells her, oh, come on, just take her to the baseball game, get her out of here, you know, get her out of my hair. So she obliges, and she goes to, you know, the park to watch the baseball players. Well, one of the baseball players was my grandfather, Benny, and, you know, her cousin turns to her, she said, Doris, oh, look at number three, he's so handsome. And my grandmother is like, yeah, that's nice. You know, but, yeah, of course she wasn't feeling well, she wasn't really paying attention. So, you know, there was also a friend who, you know, I believe, you know, he's one of my grandpa's cousins, Chewy. And he was also at the game, right? Well, unbeknownst to my grandmother, he told my grandfather about her. Like, oh, I know a woman who you would love. You know, she's wonderful. And, you know, my grandfather wasn't looking to date or anything. He was very handsome then. But, you know, that day he saw her at the game, and afterwards he went up to meet her. And, you know, from there, you know, it wasn't, I guess, necessarily love at first sight for my grandmother, but I think it was very much for my grandfather. Yeah, he always mentions how beautiful her legs were. So, you know, they meet up and eventually start dating. And in August 1956, they got married. You know, he was in his Marine uniform, my grandmother in the brown and pink polka dot dress, and they got married at City Hall, and they've been married for 62 years. Yeah, and they've been together ever since. Though, apparently, her cousin was really jealous of that. Not the marriage, just, you know, that, you know, she got the good-looking player in the number three uniform. She kept saying, oh, you took him away from me. Until at a party, my grandfather was like, "Ugh, you were a child. I had no interest in you." And that shut her up in front of her husband. But, yeah. So, I just love photographs. Though my current one that I've taken that's my favorite is my sister, Gabby. I took a photo of her at Big Bear, and she's, you know, we were practicing our archery, and it's three photographs consecutively. She's pulling the bow and aiming, you know, and then the first one is the draw of the bow, the release in mid-action, and then the second that she knows she hits her mark, she just raises her hand in the air like freaking Freddie Mercury. It's awesome. And that's probably my favorite, besides a few of the photos I've taken of my niece Aurora, you know, when she was a chubby little thing. You know, she's alternately known as a cannibal baby for her habit of chewing on people's hands, and the Chubble telescope. but yeah, I'm just fascinated with history, you know, and I've been trying my best, you know, to become a good historian. I mean, it's kind of hard to pay attention sometimes. It's a lot of times I forget things and act super awkward since I have autism. You know, I guess it used to be diagnosed as Asperger's syndrome. And I went undiagnosed for 25 years. 21 years. They just thought, you know, oh, that kid's awkward. They flap her hand. She squawks. You know, what the hell is wrong with your kid, Mark? You know, I couldn't understand my family's language, which is Spanish. I just couldn't remember it. I had speech impediments. I, you know, I couldn't stand still. And luckily, my, you know, mother, who's pretty supportive, you know, she was reading, you know, about, you know, neurological disorders, and she figured out, you know, that I had ADHD. So she went to have me diagnosed when I was in, I guess, high school, you know, and they did confirm, yeah, you have ADD. And then later when information about autism came out when I was already, you know, at Fullerton College, she had me diagnosed for that because, you know, she figured, well, you know, my kid's symptoms fall closer to autism. So I got, you know, I went to a specialist, and indeed I did have autism. So that helped me, you know, to understand the way I am, you know, and kind of use my strengths, you know, my obsession with reading and history, and use that, you know, to help me get further in life and become the person I want to be, a historian. And I hope one day I will become the best damn historian I can be. You know, so I gotta thank my mother for that, you know, for helping me understand. It's not an illness, you know. It's just, you know, a neurological disorder. Though, of course, you know, other people don't understand. They're just like, oh, you're faking it, or you're lazy, you know. You can get over it, you know, positive thinking. And, you know, that's a, they're full of shit. But, you know, that's part of me. Now that I understand, you know, the why I am the way I am, you know, the squawking and the flapping and, you know, the twitches and the ticks and the, and all that jazz, I now can, you know, get on with my life a little bit more and, you know, navigate this strange, strange world we live in better. You know, I think that would be wonderful. But yeah, that's part of me. And I do have a lot of family members who are supportive of my sisters, my mother. My dad's supportive in his own way. You know, though not so much with my medical issues, but, you know, he supports me in my endeavors to become a student. And eventually a scholar. And, of course, you know, I have the love and support of my grandparents who, you know, just want me to do the best I can. I love them both. I love Doris and Ben. But, it's hard sometimes because people don't want to understand. They don't want to, you know, just be patient with you. They want you to step in line and just be, you know, quote unquote normal. But there is no normal. It's all bullshit. So, yeah. But, you know, I hope one day I can prove all the naysayers wrong. But luckily, I have one person who's always been in my corner, my best friend, Nicole Dixon. She's always been my best friend. Since high school. I think we met at 16. And I was reading a comic book, I think The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, and I was reading it, you know, at the beginning of PE, and she went up to me and asked me what I was reading. And we both, you know, started talking, and then we started, every day, started talking to each other until we're like, hey, let's hang out at lunch, and then from lunch, we just wanted to hang out as friends. And now we've been friends for 13 years. I love her very much. Just the idea of her ever being sad or crying hurts my heart. And I hope one day she finds happiness, you know. I know she wants to get married one day. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I'm not a man, so I can't be the one to spend her life with her. because she's so wonderful. But I hope I can be there to be a friend and support her in her important life events. You know, she's the moon of my life, my sun and stars. You know, and my niece, though. She's probably the Milky Way galaxy. I love that little baby a lot. I don't understand babies, but, you know, she likes my little jokes about cannibalism and making weird animal noises. But I do care about Nicole Dixon very much. And I hope I can be the best damn friend, regardless of freaking autism or my awkwardness and my flakiness. I can be there for her, because she's such a wonderful damn person. So I guess that's all I can talk about. One day I hope to interview my grandparents so they can talk about their lives, because they live such varied lives. You know. So whoever's listening to this, whether it's some random stranger, maybe one of my future descendants or family members, or even if it's you, Adrian, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your time and your patience. Thank you to my parents, Macario Jaime, and my mother, Celeste Aviles Wentworth. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you to Nicole Dixon, my best friend. To my sisters, Gabrielle Jaime, Alexis Jaime Lee Marzi, and her daughter Aurora Lee Marzi. I love you all. And I love you too, Gary Lee Marzi, my brother-in-law. But I want to say especially thank you to my grandparents, Benjamin and Doris Avilas. Thank you for supporting me and always being there. I love you both very much. You know, and thank you, Grandpa, for sharing me the best story ever about our family, which is his father's grandfather. At the end of his life, he was so blind and senile that he thought a dancing bear was a naked woman. So he looks at the bear and says, get that woman inside before she gets a cold and put some clothes on her. Good times. So anyway, thank you to the future from the past. Have a good day.